RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Tyler's shirt.
What's it say, Ron?
It's a Victory Monday as well. Go ahead, T.
Let's go!
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in on a Victory Monday. No shirt for Tyler. And a, he's decided to go Aggies. I mean, God dog, man. Of all things to select right now.
Had to retire the Martin Pits.
But you don't know how to handle an 8-game win streak, T.
Damn right.
This is twice.
It's a good way to
this is it. Twice you've done this, damn it.
But welcome in. It is a Victory Monday, a Reaction Monday. As the Texans Saturday night punched their ticket in L.A. to get to the postseason for the third straight time. Phone lines are open, 713-572-4610. Grab a line. Tyler will set you up. We will go out to you all here in just a bit, but I want this to be the theory and the thought. Now listen up. We've been having a lot of fun on Mondays. Don't you come around here and start hijacking this thing and start turning this into a high school football conversation. Because you want to go there. This is where we are. All right? We've been doing a great job this year for the most part. Okay? This is where I want you to be thinking. Who is the team in the AFC? Right now, the Texans have been getting the mantra of, that's the team that nobody wants to see in the AFC. Granted, I don't think the Texans should be afraid or scared of any team in the field. In the AFC, okay? You should feel pretty good about any of the matchups. But honestly, all fans or people when you look at it will look at it and be like, that is the one team that gives me the most concern. Who is that team? 713-572-4610. I see some people tweeting in. Who is that team? We'll bring you on. We want to hear your thoughts, why, your concerns. But who is that team that you're most concerned? We know the seven teams that are going to be in the postseason. All right, we have that. That is wrapped up, tied up, and it is taken care of. Denver, New England, Jacksonville, either Pittsburgh or Baltimore, Chargers and the Bills. Which one of those teams concern you the most? We'll hear from you coming up in just a bit. Clint, who is it for you? When you look at this team and you watch this team, you've watched every one of the games. You've been there. You've done all the post games. We've seen this team since preseason all the way up into them clinching a playoff berth against the Chargers. When you look at them, hell, they played a lot of these teams to begin with, Clint. Who is it that concerns you the most for the Texans?
I'm going to go Denver. I think the story of not having the top quarterbacks in the league in the playoffs in the AFC is a real one. So once you get through having that one that they're not going to be there, the story quickly turns to the defenses that are going to be in the AFC playoffs, particularly ones that the Texans are going to have to go visit because they're not getting a home game. Those defenses, for the most part, are for real. And so you
if they play Denver, they got to play them in Denver.
Yeah, man. And look, it's Denver. Right? New England, you look at Jacksonville. Jacksonville's defense has been, they started out hot. They got a little bit of a lull midseason, and then all of a sudden, I mean, they're one of the better defenses in football of late. And so,
come together, yeah.
I mean, they are, you're going to have to go beat a
really. It seems like you're looking at the defense.
That's what I'm doing. The story of the AFC playoffs is about, this is the story. Forget the talking point of, boy, we're no quarterbacks. It's a path of least resistance. No. What offense in the AFC can complement a great defense the best, and that team's going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. That's what this thing's all about. What young quarterback, what inexperienced quarterback, what offense.
And Josh. We'll see what happens with Buffalo.
Got Josh, right? So that's just, I'm looking at it like that. So I'm going to go Denver, man. You go 2 mile high. It's a tough-ass place to play. The weather's going to be an issue. The noise is going to be an issue. The fact that you don't play in that altitude is going to be an issue.
That's a good point.
I think Sean Payton and Bo Nix, having already played the defense and seen the defense, although they didn't have a ton of
success. Both ways, though, that goes for the Texans, too.
Yep. I just trust Sean Payton to adjust a little bit more than I do Kaylee. And Denver's defense is for real, and they have been for real all year long. And just like the Texans, the Denver's defense has been real all year long.
And do you think Denver's offense is good enough? Because I'm just basic of what concerns me. You think Denver's offense, if we've watched them, they put up, 18 here, is good enough to complement what their defense could do to the Texans?
Yeah, I do. I trust their offense more than I trust the other offenses that we could potentially go to, which would be Jacksonville.
Because they had some shots in the first game. They missed some. I feel like they went 1-for-7 or something with shot plays down there, and they got one touchdown. I know Bullock got him a pick. But, I tend to agree with you on that. The Patriots are – They have a good combination of the two as well.
And that would be hot.
So we know unless Jacksonville loses to Tennessee, but we know Jacksonville, Denver, and the Patriots would all be road games. The way that it is set up right now would all be road games, and I look at it offenses I think most defenses can get a handle on the Texans by what we've seen, to where they just don't get away from them. But how many offenses can at least make the Texans pay some, right? Like, we just watched this game Saturday. The Chargers looked like they were just stymied the whole way. The Texans did a number on them. But then you can look in that game and see things that you're like, it could have been more than 16 points.
Yeah, easy.
Right? It could have been more than 16. There's a play at the goal line that happens. Their kicker lost his mind. Like, it could have been. So, you look at that to me. But I would go with Denver, those pass rushers and that defense. And now you'd be seeing them with Surtain back there in the back end as well. So, yeah, I would say Denver. Let's kick it off here to the people, 713-572-4610. Jump in, lead us off, man. Who is the team that concerns you the most right now that the Texans could face in the playoff?
Hey, good afternoon, Ron and Clint. I'm looking at it, man, and I agree with everything that you're saying about, Denver and New England and Jacksonville. But I'm looking at the immediate threat, man, and the matchup problem that we're going to have. I don't want to see Baltimore in the first round, and I'm going to tell you why. Because it's a strong possibility Lamar Jackson's coming back. Texas have struggled this year. I mean, our Achilles, our defense number one, but Achilles' defense is a mobile quarterback. And with Henry running that rock like a madman, their strength is our weakness. We're great at rushing the passer, sacking the quarterback and all that, but we haven't really faced a downhill punishing run game yet, and that's something that they're kind of like a team nobody wants to see, and it, like the Texans are, right? They got a good defense and a strong running game. They can control the clock, and that's why I think we're going to need to kind of attack these teams early like we did Sunday, man, and try to get on top of teams early in the game, because we can't just rely on the ball to bounce our way every time, especially facing a team like Baltimore. So I'm rooting for Pittsburgh Sunday. I'll sit back and listen.
All right, appreciate the call, T. And Clint, that is, Baltimore is coming up a lot. Like, Baltimore, if it's Lamar, I'm scared to death. It's not. I'm with you. The Baltimore thing is, see, their defense to me is the defense that I feel the Texans can take advantage of the most of almost any team that they would play. Maybe Pittsburgh, too, which is a good thing for them, especially if there's going to be no T.J. Watt in that thing. So I get the feel. One, Lamar is not going to be 100% white, right? And when you talk about a black,
he's not going to be 100% white.
When you talk about a black. When you talk about a back injury.
That would be Lamar.
When you talk about a back injury, he's damn sure ain't gonna be right. So I understand.
He's going to be closer to white with a back injury, I promise you that.
He'll be closer to Cooper Rush.
It'll be the closest Lamar ever been to it, Gene.
To white.
Bad
boy,
man,
that was tough right there. I need some of this champagne, damn it.
Some more of that champagne, Gene.
But no, I get the concern with Baltimore because it does. You also potentially can win 12 games and have to go play at Baltimore. Or at Pittsburgh in the weather, too. So I get that. I get that. But they don't concern me as much as I would say Denver or the Patriots.
Well, my view of it is not going to change. I love the point, though. I love the point, the history with the Ravens. Obviously, the Lamar factor, the Derrick Henry factor. I love the thought. But for me, like the scariest thing for the Texans is – if they go play a defense that could very easily hold this offense to nothing but field goals.
Yeah.
Could hold this offense to 10 or 15 points, right? And that's what's going to make this defense vulnerable, right? If and so the better the defense, then the more scary that team is to me. And Denver's got similar pieces to Houston when it comes to edge guys that can go, corners that can play, a great defensive mind that's one of the better schemers in the game. So Denver still is my answer. But I do – let's be honest, man.
There will be a bit – because I do think Baltimore still has a mental thing on on the Texans. Because that they played the Silver Springs Ravens in that first game.
But you make the point, and the caller made the point, though. I mean, it's one of those where – I mean, boy, if you're C.J. Stroud, you want to see the Ravens 10 out of 10 times because you just went up there and pieced them to 44. I mean, that's
– Well, I mean, and even if they're healthy, they don't rush the passer well.
Right.
Like, that's the big thing. And if C.J. has time, you feel pretty good about it. All right, Corey, jump in. What's the team? Who's the team that concerns you the most in the postseason for the Texans to face?
Man, first of all, I know that all those Houstonians take a liking. I hate to say it, man. I do not want to go to Baltimore in the playoffs, bro, because of what Lamar Jackson did to us last time. Just we have a bad track record against us ever since T.J. Watt threw the interception to Ed Reed. And every time we go to Baltimore in the playoffs, we cannot beat them. It's something about the cold weather, and it's something about us going up there. So I'm just hoping and praying that Pittsburgh beats them. Because maybe it is mental or something like that. I'd rather play Pittsburgh than play Baltimore. I'd rather play New England than play Baltimore. I'd rather play Denver than play Baltimore. There's something about Baltimore in the playoff time that we can't get through with them. I mean, everybody, I know you say you're getting a lot of it on the text messages and a lot of callers. It's just something about Baltimore we have to prove, not with no depleted defense, not without Lamar Jackson. We have to go up there and prove that we can beat them with Lamar Jackson and with Derrick Henry running the way he runs. And until we do it, I'm just scared to death. It's Baltimore. Thanks.
Appreciate the call, Corey. Baltimore, we're hearing that a lot. I would say, I'd say Jonathan Taylor and the Colts are downhill running team they've faced, and they shut down. The Chargers have been that this year, right? They've been that, and they shut them down big time in the game. Jack, where you at? Who's the team that you're concerned with in the playoffs for the Texans the most?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Great win yesterday.
Yep.
It's Buffalo. It's Buffalo.
Really?
Even though we've had success recently against Buffalo, with James Cook and with Josh Allen being willing to run their tight ends, you know what, like Buffalo on the road, that's no good. Hey, I got a Can I ask a quick question, Ron, please? All right. Clint and Ron, I need to understand, what do you think the problem is with us being able to make adjustments from a play-calling standpoint to the pressure that you talked about, Clint, and in that red zone? That is definitely play-calling, and I'm surprised that we haven't been able to consult people, bring in people, talk to other people, design different plays, but to not be able to crack a code where everybody knows that if you put pressure, we can't respond. I find that very, very unusual that we can't call plays to adjust to blitzes that we see are coming left and right. Why can't we make that adjustment?
Appreciate the call, Jack. Call back. I like that call, Jack. Clint, I want to give you that on the other side. I want you to think about that a little bit on the other side. Let's finish this thing out. Southside Al, let's hear from you. Who's the team that concerns you the most with the Texans?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Go Texans. This is the only thing, and I was thinking about that when Clint said, Ron. Denver, just because Denver has a lot what we got, their defense can flip a win on its head if Bo Nix throws interceptions or whatever. At the end of the day, I just want our team to stay out our own way. That's going to be the biggest task. Take care of the ball, and I need Nick Cady, Clint, you asked the question with the collective people, who's this offense at fault? My thing is this. It's Nick Cayley with the playbook. Andre Well called a good game. Chad Ochocinco backed it up. When that pressure's coming, even though he didn't get sacked, you got to have a hot read underneath. He's sending everybody down the field, and if CJ can throw a ball down the field 30 yards without getting sacked, that means you need something underneath to get a good ball and a good throw to something underneath, a throw opposed to throwing against pressure, underneath what they call hot reads. He needs to put that in his playbook, and you run. You will see a better, trust me, offensive drive. Like I said last week, I need to see Noel in the offense, and he listened to me. Noel was in the slot. Great adjustment, Nick Cayley. Now put some hot reads in there. Quit going for the long ball. They take too long to develop when the pressure coming. Put the hot read in the offense, and you got a good offense. Go Texas.
Appreciate it, Al. We'll get to that because I think that kind of speaks to what Jack was talking about. I got a funny feeling that Jesse Minter may have had something to do with those hot routes not being available there. But we'll get your thoughts on that, Clint. Your thoughts on adjustments. Why aren't we seeing adjustments being made to when teams start to pressure this Texans team? And we'll look at C.J. Stroud's grade, 713-572-4610. You can text in the grade for C.J. Stroud. That continues to come up next right here live on The Drive.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
From the text line, happy birthday, Clint. Angie, a clear first lady, the clear first lady of The Drive.
Right.
Number one female Thank listener. Angie, shout out to Angie who says happy birthday to Clint.
Boy, Melissa, going to whoop your ass.
You're trying to piss Mel off, but Angie, I'll take it. Appreciate
it. What are you talking about? Angie, shout out to Angie, number one first lady of Sports Radio 610 and The Drive, sending him happy birthday. All right, we had a couple of guys. Southside Al kind of said it at the end about the hot routes, that being missed and not seeing that under pressure. Jack brought it up at first, talking about what are the adjustments? Why are we consistently not seeing adjustments? And maybe you don't agree with that. Maybe you're not. But what's going on there? It seems like when teams decide to take up the pressure, whether it's Blake Fisher whether it's Titus at right tackle or guard or Brown or Ursary, they seem to kind of stymie the offense.
Well, look, I think number one, I don't think C.J. Stroud has full command of this offense. Let's start there. Okay, so in the moment when it's all going down,
when you say full command, you mean like the understanding of the offense or both, the ability to
all of it, all
make
of the,
decisions?
All of the above. All of the above. I think when C.J. Stroud goes to the line of scrimmage, C.J. Stroud does not have the ability to go, I'm hot, let me change a route, and let me get me an answer right now. Okay? Now, I don't think this offense has built-in, quote-unquote, hot routes that everybody's talking about, adjustments. Right? This offense, if we go back to what we've been told they were watching film of, this offense was with Brady. And we heard it with Bill O'Brien, which was trying to run that, the same offense with Deshaun Watson. Remember, guys, think back. This is the same issue. I remember having conversations about why do we have a guy like Deshaun Watson standing at the line of scrimmage, pointing things out, trying to figure out who's blitzing and who's not blitzing instead of being aggressive, which is how he made his money in college, right? It's the same thing, right? It's the same concept. When teams overload the line of scrimmage, in this offense, they ask the quarterback to figure it all out. Figure it out, protect yourself, hold the ball, and throw it downfield. If there's something available underneath, sure, you can take it. But if not, there's not a bunch of hot routes. The routes and the concepts aren't designed, for the most part, the routes and concepts aren't designed to have right now answers, to be right now answers for your quarterback. The offense is designed for your quarterback to stand up there and get it right, and your offensive line to get it right as often as they possibly can and figure it out and keep the plays on outside. There's not a ton of adjustments within this offense. I don't want to say there's none because I don't know, but I'm pretty sure there's little to no adjustments in this offense, generally speaking. So you got two things working against you. You got a quarterback that doesn't have complete command of the offense and a complete open playbook with all the different audibles and changes and the ability to do anything he wants to and the experience to know when and how to do what the hell he wants to do versus the pressure. And you got a system that asks the quarterback to stand up there and direct traffic and try to figure out who's coming and who's not coming every single play, and they're just not very good at it.
Yep.
I mean, we've seen pressure be a problem too many times to believe that they don't feel like what they're doing is right. It's just an execution problem. Like, if it were me, I would go a heavy dose when the first time they got me on one of those pressure looks, I would immediately, as a play caller, go into, especially if you're playing with a great defense and you've already got a lead and all, everything points towards, hey man, just don't get your quarterback hit, don't take sacks, don't get turnover. I would immediately go into an exotic quicks package with picks and different kind of quick double move routes.
Mesh routes.
Yeah, well, mesh routes. I don't want the long crossing. I would do everything at a bunch. Boom, right now. One guy in the flat, one guy crossing, one guy sitting down, right? So I got three quick options. All right. They can't cover it all, right? If it's man, the flat's there right now because he's got to sift through all this traffic. If it's any kind of zone, one of the sit-down routes is wide open. But these guys get paid millions of dollars. It would be more than just that. But I'm just saying the bunch or the stack concepts with quick answers right now to both sides of the field is what when I got a 14-point lead with our defense, I would go immediately into that, right? Like that's just where I would go. Not all of it, but a heavy dose I would go. And I would damn sure do it now after playing all season long and realizing like kind of my Achilles heel is that pressure look, and we just ain't getting it figured out, and it's killing our drives. So what do you do? So I would by plan, by design, at practice, at work, every day, go, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to these quick routes. We're going to go to an exotic quick package. You can get Woody Marks involved, right? Dalton Schultz is tremendous in making himself available. Obviously, it would require moving Nico Collins so your best player gets touches right now and you're not throwing press man slants to Xavier Hutchinson versus a number one corner in the league. Instead, you're doing that to Nico Collins. So I say all that to say I don't believe – I'm trying to explain why I'm arriving where I'm at with my answer is – I believe at this point, if what I just said was a big part of what Nick Caley wants to do, I believe they would have gotten there by now. Yeah. Right? They're just not a screen team. They're not a quicks team. They're not a motion team. They're not. They're none of that. They are a stagnant line of scrimmage, let the quarterback try to sift this thing out and play with great technique and great execution and we'll win. That's who they are offensively. They're not a – and then on top of that, the quarterback doesn't have – and it's not about the ability necessarily. We don't know that yet. But he doesn't have the experience in this system to know, all right, right now, here's where I got to go to. Bang, 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 bang. I got to go to it right now. Let's get this thing out. So they're just in a rough spot. So I mean I know that's a muddy answer, but I think it's the right answer. They're very reluctant to adjust to any screen game, any quick game. Like I said in the post game, Ron, to me, like, and I know a lot of people don't like the screen. A lot of people don't like throwing the ball short of the sticks. But on 3rd and 8, if I know in the second half they're heating me up, I'm okay throwing the ball underneath the sticks. Give me five eligible receivers and give me 5 routes, 6 yards or shorter, and give me options. Get out of my quarterback's hands. Now I'm 4th and 2, and I got a plan. I got a decision to make, right? Instead of my quarterback running backwards and throwing it out of bounds or throwing it up over the middle of the field like we saw 4 or 5 times this year, and pressure just killed 4 or 5 drives. Like that's just it's you got to believe, because they haven't resorted to some kind of heavy screen game or heavy quick game or something else, that they're just gonna wear it.
Yep. All right, let's hit CJ's grade coming up and weekend's best, weekend's worst. We'll do that as we continue right here live on a Victory Monday, on a Reaction Monday right here live.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
On the drive.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, back in on a Victory Monday, a Reaction Monday, as the Texans punch their ticket to the playoffs for the 3rd straight season. 11 wins. They get a 1 win over last year's number, and it looks like they're headed to 12 wins as they will take on the Colts. And if you heard D'Amico Ryans earlier, they're playing their starters. They take on the Colts coming up on Sunday to finish out the regular season, and then we'll understand where the Texans will be headed. They could be at home at NRG, but most likely with the Jags having to beat the Titans at home, they'll be on the road to either Baltimore or Pittsburgh. That's the most likely scenario for the Texans. Before we get into weekend's best, weekend's worst, Clint, I've seen some people text in their thoughts on C.J. Stroud. What was C.J. Stroud's grade? We do it every Monday. What was his grade? He was 16 of 28 in the game, 244 yards, about 140 plus of that came on the first 2 drives of the game. But he had 2 touchdown passes, both big plays, 2 interceptions, a quarterback rating of 80.14 rushing yards. Your grade for C.J. Stroud?
Ooh, man, I tell you, I'm gonna go with a C minus, and I think I'm being too nice. It should probably be a D. I'm gonna go a C minus.
Hey, we're thinking in the same. I'm at C minus D too.
Look, and
it
this
was disappointing. That was a disappointing effort.
Well, I mean, here's the deal: is you look at the 2 touchdowns, and the 2 touchdowns were scripted plays that they had seen in obviously something in film that you go out to the game, and it's like, all right, they're doing exactly what we thought they were gonna do. We got him exactly where we want him, and bang, we're going to bang one over the top. I think the first play they got him confused. The second one was one that they took advantage of a safety that was horny, right? So I think both of those plays were schemed up plays. Once they got off script and things that they had repped in practice over and over again, it got ugly really quickly. And so the only reason I'm not going D is because the two touchdowns were ultimately enough to win this game in the long run. But man, the turnovers, one of them being just before the half, boy, that is a turnover that I think is going to hurt this team much more than just a turnover in a game that you won. I think that was a time where it looked like the head coach and the offensive coordinator had said, all right, let's be aggressive and go get points right now, boys, to hell with it. And CJ threw a pick. And so I think that's one that sticks in the craw of the head coach, and the head coach next time says, oh, let's put a knee in it and take it in, or let's be real conservative and run the football, or take our time like we've seen them do it in the past. This team is a mess at the end of halves. Whether it's CJ throwing a pick or the clock management or the play calling, they're a mess at the end of first halves. And so, you know, the interceptions just can't happen. As I've said before, the not having answers for pressure, yes, I believe it's the system. Yes, I believe it's the offensive coordinator. But I also can't just eliminate the quarterback from any blame. I think the inability to either get to the huddle quick enough, to communicate it, to get it figured out in the moment, that's all a quarterback problem as well. Whether it's him directly or just a product of the system, it's a quarterback problem. So I gotta go with a C minus, man. The two early touchdowns saved his ass.
Yeah, text line coming in. Nick goes vest mode from YouTube and Twitch says, first 6 minutes, CJ A plus, final 54 D minus. Someone said B plus, someone said B, can't hold it against him. He's working with the best that he can around him. Clint, I tend to be with you. I was pretty disappointed in his performance in this game. I'll go C minus. The reason why I'm going C minus is not the touchdowns. I thought he had as much to do with them not getting any sacks as Blake Fisher and Titus Howard in the line. I think he avoided, like, there are a couple of times they heated him up and a sack would have taken him out of field goal range in the second half, and he got the ball off. So I'll give him that. But I think for me, I still think this is silly and not even a conversation. But for those of you who want to get into the Davis Mills space, there was nothing that CJ did in this game that Davis Mills couldn't do.
Agreed.
Right.
God bless,
brother. And I don't think that's been the case. I think against the Chiefs, I think he made throws in plays Davis could make. I think against the Cardinals, he made some plays. I think he made plays against the Colts. I think he made some plays. This was not one of those games. I think they would expect Graham Mertz to hit Jaden Higgins on that touchdown and Noel on his touchdown. And in this game, those interceptions were just absolutely, even the first one that got tipped, that looked like it was going to be picked off if it didn't get tipped. And he was able to throw it to where he was trying to throw it because somebody was coming up. So disappointing. Doesn't mean he needs to go to the bench. Doesn't mean he's dumb. He had a bad game and got a little iffy. And those games can happen. They cannot happen in place because you cannot expect all the other stuff that occurred in that game to go in your favor in games on the road. It happened in this game and it has happened before, but you just can't go with that. So I'm going to go with a C minus and only not being a D because I thought he had as much to do with not having any sacks.
Well, it's just right. Like a big part of the plan at this point, again, they're not going to change. So it's not like they're going, hey, CJ, we want to stay aggressive offensively and we're going to put you in better positions, right? I mean, the message to him is clearly don't make mistakes.
Yep.
Right? And as you mentioned, one ball was tipped, but it was going to get picked anyway. There was a defender standing there.
It looked like it was.
Yeah. I mean, and the other one was just, I mean, it just, again, you can't.
As Kurt Warner says, I don't know how he didn't see him
right
there.
Right. Well, he didn't. That's the deal, is he didn't. it was a blind throw, which
he's
happens.
Right over, CJ.
Which happens in football, and you just got to eat it. But at the end of the day, it's still a part of the grade for the quarterback.
Yeah. All right, weekend's best, weekend's worst. Clint, let's kick it off with you. What was your weekend's best in this game?
Well, the weekend's
this
best,
weekend.
Ron, it's easy, man. I mean, y'all know, you know I love this. You know I love this bowl game.
You like the bowl game, or do you like everything that's around?
I just think that, like here, you know, with the Texas Bowl, U of H, big shout out to U of H for beating LSU, by the way. I mean, they clearly run a first-class operation and are doing some things right. In a day and age when bowl games are frowned upon and suck and nobody wants to be a part of, nobody wants, even though I think the tide's turning, you know, they're frowned upon. There's a handful of them, like the Texas Bowl, that do a really good job. The Pop-Tart Bowl is one of them. And I don't know, weekend's best, right? BYU, they wanted to put Notre Dame in this game, but Notre Dame was too good to play in this bowl game. And I'll be honest with you, I thought BYU was going to get the, I thought they were going to get skull drugged by Georgia Tech. But they didn't. They end up winning the game. And I don't know if you guys saw.
Thank goodness they did.
I don't know if you guys saw the BYU head coach, Kalani Sitake. I don't know if y'all saw him after the game. But the trophy that I so dearly love is the football that's a toaster that's got the Pop-Tarts hanging out of it. Right? Was there. And they're on the podium. And he reaches up and grabs one of these, the Pop-Tart out of there, which clearly is a real Pop-Tart. And when I say this guy inhales an entire Pop-Tart in almost cartoon fashion, and there's not one crumb, there's not one piece of evidence on his mouth when he pulls his hand away from it. It is unbelievable. Weekend's best Pop-Tart bowl once again. Frosty with sprinkles, strawberry Pop-Tart, no doubt about it. So they picked the best Pop-Tart. And
with the lies was able to get it all the way
the
in.
The whole thing in there. Yeah. Just literally shoved the whole thing in his mouth and left no residue on the outside. Yeah. Absolutely tremendous effort by BYU head coach Kalani Sitake.
I thought he was going to be the guy known for just turning down Penn State to stay in Provo, Utah, but no.
Nope.
It's because he has a talent.
An unbelievable talent. And clearly an appreciation for Pop.
I mean, he's got an adult film industry talent. All right, weekend's best for me, Derrick Henry. He has far surpassed the hits and the age that you think running backs would start to slow down. And he goes, 36 carries, 216 yards, and had a career high, matched a career high, 4 touchdowns in a gotta-have-it game in the cold against the Packers. Clint, he now moves to 10th all-time in rushing yards and now 4th all-time in rushing touchdowns with 122. He was fantastic in the game on Saturday night.
Well, the crazy thing is, like you said, he's at an age and has taken a beating the way that you would think, like, hey, man, even a guy that's built like that is at some point should be slowing down. And he appears to be getting better.
I mean, he slowed down a little, but, I mean, his slowdown is still.
Hey, man, I'd take him tomorrow.
1,200 yards.
I'd take him tomorrow.
Yeah, that just.
I would take his ass tomorrow. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, he's doing it without Lamar.
Yeah.
He's running like he's still got 5 years left in the tank.
No, he does. He looks that.
Does he have a chance to catch Emmitt? Got
no,
to,
I don't
right?
Think so. No, I don't think so. He just moved to 10th all the time. I don't think he's got a chance to get in. No, Emmitt will come out of retirement.
I laugh so hard because you ain't. I mean, I guarantee
Jerry will let him.
I guarantee he's sitting at home right now. I guarantee he's going. Phillip Rivers.
That guy.
If he can do it,
that guy I saw last year at the Super Bowl. What's your weekend's worst?
Weekend's worst is was the officiating. Home. The officiating, man, in. The officiating in the Texans game. And this isn't a Texans fan thing, by the way. It was bad both ways. But the worst thing in football is when you got refs that are way too involved in a game and it's because of ticky-tack penalties, right? If you got two teams that are just physical and they're playing rough and they're doing things that need to be flagged, okay, cool. But when every time we turn around, we've got a DB that just happens to run into or slip and fall and touch the leg of a defensive back and you're calling illegal touching and a quarterback that clearly gets sacked and there's no penalty whatsoever. The defender did everything he could and there's flags. I mean, it literally takes away from the entertainment that I receive from watching football. So the weekend's worst for me was the officiating in the Texans-Chargers game. And it was both ways, to be clear. It was just a bad, poorly officiated game in a ticky-tack manner
I
can't stand.
It's league-wide. It's every week.
Yeah.
It's every week. All right, as we continue, man, what you got coming up at the
first? All right, the two explosive touchdowns early in this game were enough to win it, baby. Texans fans, I'm going to break these two touchdowns down for you, baby. You're going to love this. how it all went down. That's next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Strat House.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.